A bunch of random people.
Are you going to be ready next year for White Pop Smoke? Who's it going to be?
White Smoke. I just going to think of White Smoke.
Things going to be from, I don't know.
Some nigga that's just like, incomprehensible. You don't know what he's saying. No.
It's like, wait a minute. He's white? It's like White Pop Smoke. He's a creative force.
Right.
Hailing from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. His music is gritty and hard. No. Got my banjo.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-bad guy.
Really?
DJ Dollars. DJ.
I thought you were just going to say, like, chicken nugget aficionado or something like that.
No. That's too broad of a stroke. I'm pretty sure most people are chicken nugget aficionados, but I wanted to say something about you that really hits at the heart of your personality.
That I'm a bad guy?
Well, no, that you are a Billie Eilish stan.
Oh, of course.
Do you love all the rappers?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to continue on with this ruse. I love Billie Eilish. I love that she won 76 Grammys, and I hope nothing but the best for her.
DJ, I wanted to say watch, but I know the answer was no. Did you?
Yeah, that was a tough day. Didn't fucking watch that shit.
That wasn't time for that. But in the time since then, have you taken in internet content from the Grammys?
Yes, a bit in passing. Maybe not as much as I could or should have in preparation for this pod.
Well, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just saying.
It's been a rough weekend, and also outside of the circumstances of this weekend, the value placed upon this ceremony and the general structure and expectations of music culture, they did it to themselves. They could have your attention, but they decided to forego it because of whatever the music industry has decided is popular all of a sudden. You followed music this year, DJ, overall? Because the answer is going to be more than me. I don't know if it is a yes, but...
Ostensibly, anything that is adjacent or within hip-hop and R&B, I'm familiar with. Maybe a little bit of pop. I am aware of Billie Eilish. I've heard one or two of her songs. But that's probably the extent of my familiarity.
I don't say this to shit on her, because I listened to that song, the song I joked about with you at the beginning of the podcast, roughly a minute ago. And I was like, this is a good song. Okay.
Did you watch the video?
I did.
Were you disturbed?
I was like, this is fine. Like, it's just like...
Is that the one with the black blood bleeding face thing?
I watched it once.
You would have remembered that. It must have been the other song.
It's like people riding around. It's only like four scenes. They like repeat a lot. And I was okay. It's cool. Like, it's a good. Yeah, it's got good production.
Good. It's pop. It's pop.
But it's not.
It's not pop.
And that is my underlying issue with mine and our author guest today, Spencer Kornhaber. Our underlying issue. His piece, we're kind of taken from today, The Atlantic, How Pop Culture's Biggest Weirdo Swept the Grammys.
Yeah, I tuned into the Grammys expecting to write about the controversy that had led up to the Grammys, which involved the former president of the Recording Academy getting suddenly fired after just 5 months on the job, and then filing a legal complaint alleging corruption, sexual misconduct, and sort of an embedded culture of sexism and racism at the Recording Academy. But during the ceremony, that really didn't come up much. Like, I sort of expected someone on stage to make reference to that controversy, and it didn't really happen. But the, you know, the obvious news of the night was that Billie Eilish swept the top four general categories, which is not something that's happened since 1981. So obviously that's a big record breaking happening that I feel like the Atlantic readers might want explained to them, like why it happened, who Billie is. And then you just think about it for a few moments and it becomes pretty clear that her win seems like it could fit in with the pre-existing narrative or series of complaints that have been made over the years, including by that outgoing Grammy CEO, which points out that certain people are treated differently depending on the genre they work in, or their race, their gender, and also the connections they have with the industry. So I'm a fan of Billie Eilish. I wanted to, explain her appeal, her sound, but also look into some of the factors underlying her career that might explain why she hit so massively with Grammy voters. The response to the piece has been interesting, if not unsurprising. I'm getting a lot of pushback from Billie fans and from maybe more conservative minded readers who say that I'm the racist for even talking about race when it comes to the Grammys. I just got a tweet that seemed to imply that I was being anti-Semitic or using a euphemism by calling her well-connected when I don't even know that she is Jewish. I haven't seen anything saying that she is. So those are just the sort of fun responses you get when you talk about pop culture through any sort of identity lens. But I hope that the piece laid out the actual logic and the history and rationale for why you would look at these things through an identity lens, which is not just to politicize art, as people might say, but is just to explain what the Grammys even are, and what they're doing in society. I think you can appreciate her music and like even be a fan of hers while still thinking it's kind of bizarre and unfair for her to have like blown out all four categories in the way that she did.
When I look at the rest of the nominees, the general mix of nominees for these big awards, which are Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and then she also won Best New Artist.
Wow.
You have your Lizzo, you have Lil Nas, you have Bon Iver Album of the Year, you have a variety, Ariana Grande. Like, you have a mix of artists, and to say she's pop, Ariana Grande is pop, and when I think about the music and the most successful songs that they make, I'm like, they don't sound too poppy. They said there's a lot of rippity rap, there's a lot of trap, there's a lot of 808s, there's a lot of sonic rap. So it's interesting that a pop artist, quote unquote, who wears Gucci sweatsuits and is sort of just sort of a distilled version of like what white people would enjoy about SoundCloud rap, right?
You
said. It's like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, all four Grammys, while the single greatest record in the history of the Recording Academy,
the most successful, yes,
didn't win a Grammy. Like, and
that being Old Town Road,
yes,
It did win a Grammy, though.
Well, no, but thank you for number
one. Not one of the big ones, but
slow me down for my incredulousness. I'm so so incredulous that it's like it's got me hyped up. I have no idea how that could not win a Grammy, specifically because every time we get around this awarded cycle, right, it gets touted that this is just, the rewarding what's the most successful thing of the year.
Yeah.
And for Old Town Road, which won like best pop, it won some bullshit Grammy. You know, some
performance duo thing.
A bazillion of them. For it to be the most successful hit ever.
Yep.
And to actually be a genre bending pop culture phenomenon with 1,800 remixes to not win Record of the Year. It doesn't have to win Song of the Year. Distinction being songwriting and actual recording.
Okay.
That's for y'all out there.
For the technical ones.
For the technical ones. Like, Record of the Year for the like the actual recording is absurd. It really is absurd. It doesn't make any sense. And it's not a shot at Billie Eilish, who I keep hearing has all the fire trap beats. And sings a rappity style singing and has green hair, and it's just like,
it's dark.
Pop music is rap music, is it not?
Yeah, or black music, or the most mainstream of it.
But
yeah,
just in terms of the sound now, we've sort of distilled into this thing where it's just like, it's all the same.
The 808s have made it into the bloodstream.
808 hi-hats and snares.
The what did they call that? The buzz. But I forgot what 808's Mafia, what they called the thing. The reverb. Well, there's a reverb.
808 slides. Yeah. All that shit.
That's it.
It's depressing, man. And I don't know what that means going forward. Like, because it's not for me, right? I just have to give up this shit, pay attention to it, and be like Jay-Z. I'm like, fuck the Grammys.
Between them and it seems like every other major black artist has been falling back on it off and on over the years, especially if they don't get a major nomination. Like Frank Ocean didn't even submit.
Yeah, Blonde, right?
Right. So I don't know if we just get to the point where we just stop caring. The Grammy cachet, especially amongst our space, has appeared to thin out most definitely. And we don't really care too much about that anymore. Grammy Family Freestyle was, what, 15 years ago? 12 years ago? So, I don't know. I've started to just give up on it, that this is a voting block or an industry that being the Grammys, the production of the Grammys themselves, being something that we have to break into at this point for validation, for legitimacy. And Puffy said as much not too long ago. You seen
his Rock Nation Punch speech?
Yeah,
it's a little grand. None of those shits. Like, I was like, oh, these things are going to give platitudes? I'm not.
I mean, they're a little turned up off the mimosas and shit, off the Duce. But I think now that he was definitely more right than he was wrong.
I'm sure.
About just where things stand and where we see far too often the repackaging and distillation of what's popular amongst black artists placed on a white artist, and this being Billie Eilish, a petite, small white woman, and that being supposedly like what's the best out, or her being not only the best
creative force,
not only being, well, it's her and her brother that's the songwriter, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, her being the best artist, having the best song, the best album, the best. When we just know in the mirror says that's just not the way, not how it is in real life. Be outside of this antiquated voter block of
Dog,
a bunch
you,
of random
are
people.
Are you going to be ready next year for white pop smoke? Who's it going to be?
white smoke. I was just going to think of white smoke.
Things going to be from, I don't know.
Some nigga that's just like incomprehensible. You don't know what he's saying.
It's like, wait a minute. He's white? It's like white pop smoke. He's a creative force.
Right.
Hailing from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. His music is gritty and hard. No, got my banjo.
I mean, I have a bit of empathy for any one individual artist, right? Billie Eilish is out here doing her own little thing.
Sure.
But she gets sucked up into this larger unjust space.
Sorry.
That makes me...
White pop smoke.
I like white smoke.
White smoke. I gotta
white pop
workshop it. It's not her fault, as you're saying.
Right. So she just, but she has to get the smoke, so to speak, to some degree. But you know, I can't imagine she goes up there and accepts the award. She can't be like, oh yeah, this belongs to the Migos or some shit. Like, I don't think niggas doing that. So Adele tried that and they said the Joe Light Award.
You remember Macklemore and his text thread?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
I fuck with you. This is your award.
I feel bad because my shit was weak and it's not going to last the test of time.
We ain't even seen him since then.
You put out, a Pantheon rap album, and I'm sorry these old white voters didn't recognize that. They just recognized me because I'm a white guy. So here's a text.
Maybe it's third show.
Here's a text. And a screen cap. I'm a screen cap this shit and put it on Instagram. Like, nigga, where the fuck have you put this shit on Instagram?
It's hilarious.
So, I don't know, man. But we just have to kind of just ease up on it.
We're trapped.
We're also trapped because we damn if we don't. There's also a lot of keeping up with the Joneses and or self-hate is a strong word. But, you know, are niggas getting that excited about the BET Awards? Probably not.
No.
Soul Train Awards? I mean,
okay. So, one of my thoughts about this is that you would think over the shift of time and why it's really disheartening that at this point, at this juncture in time, it would have been more accepted. Because you could say that this fight that we've been through with hip hop and things being accepted and getting awards, Now in 2020, where it's basically fully integrated, hip hop's been the most successful genre in the past, I don't know, 5-6 years. Everyone musically.
Oh, like literally, like by the metrics, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Musically, it's the most popular thing.
It's been the most influential for decades now.
It's not old.
Right.
I mean, it's not new.
Yeah.
Why, at this point, these people should be getting awards for their work, not having, you know, Elvis happen again. For the 30th time.
Yeah. The last time a hip hop album won best album was Speaker Box Love Below.
Yeah. How many robberies can you think since then? Because in my head, I think of 2 or 3 specifically.
Robberies?
Yeah.
Whatever year My Beautiful Twisted came out, one of those Kendrick Lamar albums. Yeah. I don't think Kendrick submitted Damn for shit, if I recall.
That's fine.
yeah, maybe a Jay-Z album or two, a Drake album or two. Beyonce album, clearly. I mean, that was probably the biggest robbery of all time. So, just in terms of like, that shit had the mainstream appeal, had the virality, had the storylines, it had the big time super duper artists. She may have performed. So, yeah, it gets to a point where you just gotta throw your hands up. Like, we can't keep going through these motions. Your boy, African Giant didn't win.
I know, right? Shout out Burna Boy.
What was that about? Some 80-year-old woman? Like, niggas don't understand how this shit be working. Like,
it's a mess all the way around.
We got to go and find the marginal. We got to go to these diners in Kentucky and find this working class Grammy voter.
Yeah, my understanding of how to actually vote on is nebulous. So let's just start going around beating people up. Vote for rap.
Maybe that's a good sticker. Or I don't know, respect rap. Or
something like that.
We need to see it happen on the back end. I don't know, man. That we should have known that it was looking ominous after they played off Drake last year.
Yeah.
Remember? Because he was complaining about the shit and they just turned the music on him.
It's absurd. So I want to thank Spencer. Appreciate you sending us some audio in, and we can move on to something I would say more important in the terms of greater culture and society with, I don't know, it's an award, it's a competition, it's the election, man. You know, we are politically minded, but we haven't really talked about it in a while. Stayed away.
So what are you like, you're over there
chomping at the bit?
Chomping at the bit?
Ready.
You're like part of Bernie's troll army, just ready to go at whoever.
Possibly. Talk shit about Burn Dog. I'm coming for you, bro. Don't talk. Well, I'll find you. I'll go to your house.
DSA goons.
The Iowa caucuses are coming up, I want to say this Monday, the 3rd. Mm. And as we've seen, friend of the pod and fellow Brooklynite, Big Burn Dog has been surging.
Surging.
But his, I don't want to call his followers, his Burn Army, the bros, supposedly, they have sort of drawn the ire among not only his opponents, but greater culture out here on the net
for being generally shitty and extremes.
I mean, I'd say that, but I wouldn't say that. I don't know. It feels like some Russian bot shit. That's my general take on the idea of Bernie Bros, because of course they exist, but the proliferation of them and then the constant media discussion about who they are, who are they talking about, how are they infecting everybody, their influence. The conversation around them is undue.
It's, I feel like this is just whack, to be honest.
Yes.
This is just people being mean on the internet.
Exactly. And that exists. That exists everywhere on the internet.
Good boy. This is in reference to a New York Times article we had, right?
Yeah, man. We have an article from the Times that breaks it down pretty well, considering that it's been a hot topic, but Bernie Sanders and his internet army,
right,
by a crew of writers, Matt Flegenheimer, Rebecca R. Ruiz, and Nellie Bowles.
Right.
Bowles, I'm sorry. Bowles. One of the two.
Yeah, as part of this larger cresting Bernie Sanders moment, in which he's looking more and more by the day like a viable candidate that will win potentially a number of primaries and get enough delegates in order to be the actual Democratic candidate and going up against Donald Trump this November. His prospects had looked rather dim, especially in light of his heart attack a couple months ago. I think I'm the one who pronounced his campaign dead, if I recall
Did
correctly.
You?
I think I said it's going to fuck him up, him having a heart attack.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see long term, but as we've said, like, we got to Iowa now, it's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that story is just kind of like dead in the water now, like, and any type of suspicions or health concerns are no more, seeing that this man is up and spry and dancing around and shit.
He's been dancing around. I
just remember this old this video of him like ballroom dancing with his wife, flipping over his shoulder and shit.
Oh, shout Bernie.
Like, he's bench pressing her. Bench pressing.
Oh yeah, doing a little fancy, you burn dog.
Still shooting jumpers. Still got the J working. So with that, and with Sanders' leftist political profile,
could be talks or correct.
And because of his staunch grassroots movement army of supporters and trolls alike, in person and online, it seems as if the mainstream politicians, surrogates, and media have been reluctant to go at him. And now it appears it may be time for his chance in the spotlight, whether that's going through his record, whether that's second guessing some of his ideas and proposals.
Right, a little scrutiny.
Just that general scrutiny that, to be honest, everybody's gone through and come out of, for better or for worse. One being maybe your girl, Big Lizzie, Liz Warren. Her polls relatively dropped. We're dipping into a little bit of punditry, but dropped after a couple more candidates got in the race and after she went through a level of scrutiny.
You know. Speaking about Bernie and Liz, she fucked herself up with this whole Bernie something, I'm a woman thing. That whole thing, that was just like a non-issue.
That was a dumb. That was a
that,
dumb.
That cloud. Yeah. It's just like a.
Yeah, that was like a dumb 2-day political story. But her trend, she had been trending down. Slightly for a while. It's not as if she's still not a viable candidate, don't get me wrong, but her support seems to have filtered into other candidates as of now.
No, go ahead, continue, DJ.
So I was just trying to give a bit of a the gist of where things stand. We're going into the Iowa caucuses, which is the first caucus, right?
Yes.
For the Democrats. And to win or at least perform well in that state is an important signifier and bellwether for your prospects of being the actual nominee. So it looks like it's a relative toss-up between Sanders.
It seems like Bernie's like
Uncle Joe,
well ahead in terms of that's the polling, but you know.
Yeah, but I mean, we learned we can't just fucking rely on polls. It's after 538 in November 4th, 2016. So, and Warren, right? So, I mean, it's still relatively close, but it looks as if Bernie's like he's inching out of being the presumptive favorite there.
It's funny too when you consider the article and the idea of the troll army and how they interact with all the other candidates. Are they attacking them, or can Bernie rein them in? Is he in charge of them? And it kind of, you know, there's these moments politically where people and their good faith is called into question, and this idea that not only Bernie's responsible for these people, but
yeah, that too.
But the sense that
he definitely he doesn't do the Trump thing and like bullshits it. He comes out and like explicitly
he's
says,
you know,
like,
please, you know, if you when you support me, please don't hurt any of the candidates or say anything about them or do any wild bullshit. but the idea that it's bad. And this is me being my political savvy. This is me getting my Karl Rove on, right? Making my melon grow 3 times the size. Karl Rove gang. Is it bad to have a fervent base? Is bad? I fuck with it tough. Especially considering the idea that this shit with the Joe Rogan thing made me really mad. That like Bernie gets
the reaction to that?
Yeah.
Which is also just dumb.
I was like, another dumb. I was like, okay, so Joe Rogan and the swaths of idiots that listen to this and
alpha brain pounding and just MMA
people
addicts.
who just come politically apolitical and just think like, yeah, man, it's all the same. Like, you know, these polls who just say vague, dumb shit are going to be led to a leftist politician that can actually help us, regardless of whatever we agree on, regardless, is going to pull us this way to being helped. And you're going to be out here like, we can't support Bernie. I was like, this got to be Russia. I guess the people, like the black people I'm seeing doing it, like the political, I'm like, are y'all serious?
Well, I think it.
And the idea that like Joe Rogan's a racist. Like, I'm like, I'm like, y'all.
A lot of that comes from, especially, we got to remember, this is all extremely filtered through the internet and through the people that would like to speak the most and be part of the chattering class on Twitter, right?
I like that.
And the most outspoken groups are, especially when it comes to like inter-party conflicts and especially on the left or what have you, are extremely like identitarian or like extremely militantly, black or feminist or socialist, you know, and everybody
it's
just
like Joe Rogan makes trans jokes. We didn't vote for Bernie. Right. I'm like, what?
And because of the nature of the left for the Democratic Party is extremely coalitional. So it's just a composition of a bunch of different people of different backgrounds. You do have to, you know, find middle grounds and things to agree on or to move forward collectively, compared to the monolith of what Brandon calls white evil.
Yeah, right? Yeah, white evil. They're one pact. Yeah. They're just in for it. For
more or less, you know, it's a couple of okay folks within that space or on the right or within the Republican Party specifically.
Good, but kind people like Mitt Romney.
Yeah, you know, sipping, got in trouble for sipping chocolate milk. I saw that in passing.
Oh.
Yeah, at the impeachment rally. Not rally, but trial, whatever, sham trial, whatever the fuck is going on.
By the time this is out, the sham trial will be decided,
they
right?
Be like, well, you know.
Suppose John Bolton, the god, mustache god.
Nah, they're saying, I don't know. They I heard they walking out the fucking chamber with their hands over their eyes, like, I don't see what's happening. Like, that, you know.
Supposedly, they're going to say whether or not he's going to testify on this Friday. See. I mean, votes Friday.
That shit will be settled by the time this pod is over. But anyway, so you have each of these identity groups then trying to put everyone through fucking their own version of a purity test.
Right.
And if you don't fit their purity test, then you are completely anathema and you have to be thrown away. But to be honest, that is not how coalitional politics could ever work. And especially for somebody like a Joe Rogan, if you really think he is like this odious personality. Joe Rogan has millions of listeners weekly. You know what I mean?
He's gonna throw that shit away.
You're just gonna like throw away somebody who can really be an asset of and he's not being a detriment to you. What if he came out and was like, oh, you know what? If I'm not voting for Bernie, I'm just gonna vote for Trump or something.
Should
like,
be over.
Think about if he did that shit. Like, to be honest, like, think about if he would have done that. So, and that swings it on the margins.
And this shit is marginal.
And it's extremely marginal. So to you got to make strange bedfellows sometimes, and this partial conversation we're having is adjacent to the, you know, Bernie bro troll army, but these purity tests they got to chill, man. They especially in light of where the country is right now. What's his name? Joe Rogan is the least of our issues. He might be a little dumb or a little boorish or a little or might even be purely a transphobic or racist or something. I don't quite believe so. I listen to Joe Rogan on the regular, every now and then. I mean, the episodes are a little too long, so I might just see if it's somebody I fuck with and I listen to it. But he's not an ideologue that is like preaching when it, like some of these subversive things.
He's not the people that they think he is. Right? Yeah,
he's not on here like preaching some crazy shit or preaching racism or what have you, or transphobia. A bad joke or some bullshit he might do, I could see that happening because I could see that's part of his personality. He brands himself as like, oh, I'm just a dumb guy.
Yeah,
I'm
like, open-minded. What? I just, I'll talk to anybody.
Come talk to me, you know.
You a KKK guy? Sure. Yeah. I just want to see, you know, what's up with you.
And he'll find a middle ground and be like, oh, so you know, you just want white people to have their own country or whatever. Okay, that makes sense. And he'll find like, you know, a middle ground to that. But him finding agreement with so many different types of people or having conversations or feeding into certain things, I'm sure that could rub people the wrong way and or break certain purity tests because he fucks with certain people that you shouldn't be fucking with.
But this is politics, baby.
But this is politics, and he's by far not the odious person that they would that these people that don't fucking listen to Joe Rogan would have you believe, straight up and down. So that is a, I would say, an empty reactionary thing that's happened. On the other end, for your Bernie bros.
Yes.
The personal attacks and the doxing and all that shit is terrible.
It's wild. It's some wild absurdity.
From what I hear and what I've seen before, and if you ever look at anybody's mentions, if they ever even deign to, you know, come at Bernie, like the army is out there. But what they do have is an extremely, like, from leftist moralistic responses to a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And the rhetoric, maybe it definitely is rugged.
Because if you're going to say some bullshit about Kamala Harris, right, that's rude and disrespectful about her.
Yeah.
But your reasoning is because she's a corporate sellout.
Yeah.
And that
is a take, but you know what? There's validity to that take. You know what I mean?
Saying, so, like, it's like,
or if it's a rough take to say, okay, if you want some middle ground healthcare policy that you're selling out, or you are, you know, you're not down with single payer healthcare, or what have you, you're a terrible person. That's subjective, but I mean, it is based in the bit of a certain type of reality. We can argue about the efficacy of those policies, or if Bernie would ever be able to get his agenda passed. But a lot of his shit is rooted in, for one, practical things that have happened in other countries, or two, like just a collective moral type of standing for a lot of his policies and stuff like that. So they just don't like getting attacked from the left on a lot of this stuff from these moderate candidates, because they don't want to. I mean, they want to appear moderate, which is fine. But if you appear to just be in the middle ground, then you wind up looking like
nothing, man.
Yeah, and you wind up looking like Wile E. Coyote when he runs off the fucking cliff.
And the funniest thing about that too, in terms of like where you stand politically in these people, I think if people were more politically savvy and more internet savvy, we talk about this, and you alluded to this at the very beginning of this conversation, is that there is a space on the internet. And there is an identity on the internet for troll assholes.
Yeah.
And that shit is not political. It's not a political stance. It's just that young internet men mostly are doing this, right? If we're talking about the Donald and the Trump experience on that, like this is the same
energy.
Group of people, the same energy, the same idea.
A large number of people that supported Bernie voted for Trump, son.
It's like,
it's a fact.
it's not a ideological issue, and it's not a Bernie issue. It's a internet. The internet is evil. Like, the internet is a terrible place that fosters that anonymity, fosters vitriolic shit.
Right.
So we're gonna talk about how we're gonna navigate doxing and shit like that on the internet. Okay, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But it's not specifically tied to the identity of supporting Bernie. No. Because if it wasn't him, shit, like, you know, Klobuchar's assholes would be out here.
I mean, she hasn't been able to cultivate a personality like a Trump or Sanders.
But it would have been Yang.
Yang gang.
It would have been the Yang gang.
The Yang gang. If he was able to really build it up politically. I mean, yeah.
Because if there was that no Bernie space, it would have been him.
Yeah, I mean, it's all foreseeable.
It is sexist, though, by the way.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a woman. Of course. They're going to fall behind.
I mean, yeah, Elijah is not not good.
Because of the internet.
Don't get me wrong. But you know what? In a very cold, and this is the world we live in, of complete just power grab politics. It's rare, especially when you're looking at the left to right coalitions. It's not about like finding solutions to shit at this point. So I don't know about you, Brandon.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you rather have these niggas on your team?
Yes.
In a couple months, like just going ham. I don't know.
Hacking people and shit. I want them to do all kinds of wild stuff. I want them to be posting videos of Ivanka and shit. I want them to be doing. I want them. They're the fucking the flood. I want them out there just ravaging, just getting all through white evil. We have to use white evil for white evil.
We need them. We need them ravaging.
You know, if we're not, if the social media companies and the government and people are just gonna play blind and play dumb, that they're just these hordes of shit posters out there. And the same rules applied in the last election,
Yeah, if we have it as an asset, if the Bernie Bros are really out there in full force, like imagine them just going ham at your boy Big Sebastian and all of the fucking all the MAGA the MAGA army
son.
MAGA, what are they called? MAGA army? I don't know. Fuck the
maggots.
The maggots versus the fucking Bernie Bros.
What?
Yo, it'll be fucking Armageddon.
It's gonna be lit. I'm not gonna lie. I'm trying to watch this shit.
I'm gonna log into Facebook. That shit's just gonna explode for the first time in like 3 years. I'm like, just like,
are we like some kind of digital avatar version of this shit? Can we make it like a MMORPG or something?
Bro, these memes.
Pick your skin, Bernie, bro.
Yo,
get the wild.
These meme battles are gonna be crazy, son.
The thing is, because we're right too, so like that helps.
I know.
It's not even disinformation. It's true.
It's moral. It's righteous. They're trying to distribute. I'm not totally down with full blown. I don't know, communism or socialism, but we need some of this shit.
But it's not gonna get passed. Let's just take a shot that way. We'll get almost somewhere in the middle and yeah, whatever.
I'm just thinking these memes. What is okay? So they got so Pepe, right? They got Pepe the Frog.
Right.
What did Bernie Bros got? But like. Niggas gotta keep.
They gotta bring back a. Oh shit! What up, that boy? Remember that shit? The frog on a unicycle, bring that shit back, but just make it. Oh shit! It's Trump or something. I don't know. I'm all for the information campaign on our side. Information campaign,
right.
Utilizing like, hey, we need to get in there and hire fucking Slovakia to like do some shit.
Oh, you talking about outsourcing too?
We go all the way.
And you know, niggas are. Smarter than these fucking
come on,
MAGA heads and shit. Like,
come on,
memes are gonna be crazy.
Come on, man. I'm waiting for somebody to break out that the goat format, the LeBron joint with him in front of the goat sign. They could use that. It's a lot of hot shit out there. Fresh memes. The Billy Porter. That's gonna be popping with the closing of the hat.
yeah.
Use that, Bernie Bros. Then people can't say you're homophobic.
Man, that's about
coalition building.
Coalition building.
Build the coalition. Build it.
Of crazy disaffected.
It's like the
MMA fans.
It's like the Avengers. Burning in the front.
Socialists. Every young person.
Every single young person in the world. disaffected trans people. Bernie Bro Army.
Steel workers still trying to hang on.
Union steel workers. The blacks, the immigrants, we're just fighting that nameless space army of white evil and Trump Thanos. Please accept the coalition, people.
Oh, man.
God.
You just have to divert their attention, just not on you.
Man.
Or get off the internet. You know, nobody says you have to live on the internet or you can't, you know, tweet without getting some type of response.
Yeah, block people.
Yeah,
ignore them.
Turn off the responses.
Yeah.
It's not that deep. Y'all think.
I'm worn.
I think Twitter is real life.
Another problem.
You're being mean to y'all.
Like, I mean, that's the gist of it, right? It's like, they're mean. It's like, what? Tell them to fucking eat a dick. I don't know. Like, just say some mean shit back.
I don't know. They,
don't understand. They don't understand trolling. I think that's what it is.
Yes, and I think everyone. On the internet, fucking forgot how it was 4 years ago. Like,
yeah, it was chaos.
It was not nice. It was crazy shit happening.
Chaos, man.
Memes were crazy. They had some good memes. I'm not going to lie, man.
And that's the thing. I was like, damn, y'all letting them run over y'all like that? These are fire. Fire-ass memes.
And they got to infiltrate Facebook. We're not going to get all the old people on the social.
Target Facebook because, like, we got all the others we're going to have. Facebook is like the last bastion, but it's the biggest account, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big battlefield. They on there.
We gonna trick some niggas with the truth, but it's gonna be like.
How do you trick old people? I'm trying to think. What's hot on there? You know there's dating on there now.
No, you tell
Facebook.
You need a good, dating? Oh, I was gonna say, like, just telling the truth, I'm like. Trump and Republicans are trying to take your health care, but you gotta do it in like a nice fire meeting.
No, we just make a lot of like fake accounts of like. Handsome old man. it's like you know, I'm really thinking about voting Bernie.
I thought you would make like a fake,
just like fake profiles,
make fake healthcare accounts and be messaging everybody like, hey, we're here to take your insurance, take your Medicare,
something like that. Hey, oh man,
we got ideas. We're gonna be the new internet research agency. Them
use us,
Russian shit.
Call us, man. We'll be Russian.
Yeah, we don't have an intern for the pod, but we about to intern for fucking. If this meme war pops off, I'm with it.
Meme wars, man. Can we talk about the other spiritual war in America?
Yeah.
The war between cognitive dissonance and enjoying violent blood sport.
Oh, man, blood sport.
Delicious, man. DJ, who's your Super Bowl pick, man?
Oh, man, go with the black quarterback.
Come on, yeah?
Pat Mahomes.
Well, Andy Reid. You know he's MAGA.
Is he?
A little bit. He's MAGA adjacent.
Okay.
But it's fine. It's okay. He's too raw.
Good, he's a good meme. And he's too raw.
We know he fucks with Andy Reid and then the sort of nameless, faceless 49ers just like, we're overall a good team.
Yeah, now Joey Bosa is mad.
No, he's
like really in that shit.
Have you seen the memes about him?
Yes.
Just that he's just like, that's why he's going so hard. He's like, you got to meet Trump. He's like, I got to meet Trump. I got to win the Super Bowl. Oh, man. I agree with you that I would like if the Chiefs won, just mostly off the strength of my guy Andy Reid.
And yeah, man.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm an
Eagles fan.
The big, what would you call him? Like, he's either like a large bird or a Kool-Aid man. I can't sure.
He's a large bird of some sort?
He looks like a
walrus.
Walrus.
Yeah,
oh.
yeah, the mustache. Better.
I was thinking of Foghorn Leghorn.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Close, but he's not Southern.
I'm with it, man. I have not really paid much attention to this like game considering everything that's happened and just the general football disillusionment that I have.
Yeah, just keeping that arm's distance but still watching.
It's like it's a thing. I'm gonna wanna drink beer, blah blah blah, all that shit. But found some good articles. Ben Crandall, the Sun Sentinel, Stripper Bowl. South Florida's adult clubs are going big and tiny for Super Bowl weekend. And another one specifically about Miami Gardens in the Miami Herald by Aaron Leibowitz. Miami Gardens is hosting another Super Bowl, but what's in it for the city? Good question.
Good fucking question.
DJ, you alluded to this earlier on the pod. Have you been to Miami Gardens?
I have. I've been to the Hard Rock Stadium, and it is in the middle of nowhere.
Miami Gardens is not the city of Miami, y'all.
No, not at all. It's a separate city. It's a separate incorporation.
And the finances surrounding this event in Miami are nebulous and kind of dubious a bit, considering people don't understand what's going on there in the city. And as the article explains, there's not much support given to the town city of Miami Gardens,
right,
where all the events are being held on South Beach and the Bayfront and downtown Miami and the parties and the strip clubs and the events sponsored by the NFL and outside organizations. And it's not really given much love to Miami Gardens, including the stripping industry, which is getting popping. They're getting ready. Ben Crandall with a great deep dive showing Tootsies is they're looking out for all y'all.
How much do you think he enjoyed researching this?
he was like, listen, his editor is like, listen, you know, I've been a reporter for a long time and I have a passion project. I want to take my craft where I do my work. I want to take it into my hobby.
Mm.
Strip clubs. We're gonna get nasty. We're gonna get deep inside. We're gonna find out about how businesses are.
Why does he sound like a scumbag?
Because he is. No. Ben, wherever you are, I have fictionalized you. But the idea of researching, you know, what's going on strip club is it like you said? It's industry, man. It's an industry. You don't like it. And with Miami specifically, the industry of Miami is all debauchery anyway, party and drugs.
Yeah.
So the strip club economy, it matters. If you're going down there for the Super Bowl, they are catering to you. It's been 10 years since the last Super Bowl in Miami.
Seems like a long time, right?
I know, right? But, you know, they did the one in the Minneapolis.
Minnesota,
they did it in New York.
Indy.
And they did all those domes. And
Louisiana.
Yeah, it's been around. So the fact that it's back, they said that they're ramping up. They're ramping up. They're bringing in hosts from everywhere. They're bringing from different area codes, not just 305. They are bringing all kinds of chicken wings. It's gonna be a Miami that is ready for this event. So even if it's not touching Miami Gardens as much as you would like it to, my experience with the city is that it's always been segregated like this, socially, culturally, and economically during my time that I lived there. So it's interesting to see that. I guess it'll be a good time. For people that go there, they say they're trying to cater to the big ballers and the everyday schmo that comes in for the regular stripper brunch that they have down there. So it should be an interesting experience if you want to head down to Miami, y'all.
Well, that was a glowing endorsement.
Yeah, why not be positive? I mean, it's weird when you think about the way a municipality interacts with these big events, because in the article they allude to an F1 Grand Prix that they're trying to put up there, and people don't really want it there, and it's just like a. But it's, you know, this is the bringing the economy to the area, so it's a delicate navigation. But anytime there's a big sports event, Olympics coming up, these big Super Bowls, the shit that they're doing in LA with the Inglewood big stadium down there, it's like it affects the people down there. So I think it's important for people like us to think about that before a big event, before Big Red gets a Super Bowl. I would love if the Chiefs won. That's my pick. Chiefs 38, 49ers 31, because if the Chiefs win, they're going to be a shootout. They can't win no close game like that.
They can't win a close game.
Because it's going to be very, like, grinded out, and that would be bad.
28-24. Chiefs.
Okay, I like it. Yeah. Much respect, DJ. It's been another great Send the Link, man. Have you enjoyed chatting this week?
I have. It's been a traumatic week.
It has been.
We recently did our tribute pod to one Kobe Bryant and the others that tragically passed. So we're just trying to make do, but still wanted to come up with this fire content. Enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed the time, cracked a few laughs, and plotted on the future of joining the Bernie Bros and making a meme army.
Yeah, I mean, that's my big takeaway from this week. So if you were listening, please, no purity test.
Send the link.
Join the flood. Bite somebody.
Yeah, man. Strange bedfellows.